Redbeard here from InTheStudio.net with
Hall of Fame, 20 classic rock snubs.
No less than Rolling Stone Encyclopedia of Rock and Roll states emphatically in its opening biography line, and I quote, "Pat Benatar was the most successful hard rock singer of the 80s. And writer Stephen Stolder points out, and I quote, "With the arrival of the 1980s, Nancy Reagan was picking out new White House china, MTV was taking its first baby steps, and Pat Benatar was surging forward as a new kind of female rock star. Brassy, eye-catching, and possessed of a 4.5-octave voice range, the small-framed, big-voiced New Yorker first caused a stir in 1979 with the hit Heartbreaker," end quote. 26 years earlier, she was born Pat Andrzejewski in Brooklyn, New York. Her mother had been in the chorus of the New York City Opera, but quit when Pat was born. Her father worked in a sheet metal plant. Pat remembers her childhood home in Lindenhurst, Long Island, as being filled with music, mostly operas and polkas, and she has no doubt that she inherited the multi-octave singing range from her mother. But without meaning to, Pat Benatar was about to find herself at ground zero of the feminist revolution and a focal point of changing attitudes. She had to deal with a public image that had nothing to do with the kind of person she really was. Rolling Stone magazine put her on the cover with the headline, "Rock's Newest Sex Symbol." A marketing man's dream, but it was Pat Benatar's nightmare.
You have to understand, it was a strange time for, I think, all women at that time. It's not so localized in the music industry and things like that. It was a strange time for us, period. It's that kind of thing where you spend generations and generations of one kind of stereotype. And when sometimes when you're given the freedom to move out of that stereotype, you just move into a different kind of stereotype because you haven't learned how to live without them, period. You know what I mean? That's what happened to most of us. You know, that was pretty much at the height of when everything was happening. And, you know, myself included, I mean, none of us knew where to go. We had, my whole philosophy was that freedom meant total freedom. That meant if you wanted to be, you know, the vamp type person, that's what total freedom meant, that no one but you could decide what was correct for yourself. There were no more boxes to be put in. Feminists couldn't box you in that way either, because that was all you were doing was moving out of the sexists, and then the feminists were telling you where you were to go. You know what I mean? So it was from one box to another box. My whole position was that true freedom meant you could go anywhere you wanted to go. And this is where the problem started to happen, because people who believed that, feminists who believed that philosophy, were on that other side with Treat Me Right saying, "We don't care what she wears," you know what I mean? Then there were the other ones saying, "Yeah, but look how she looks," you know what I mean? So that was the problem. But that was a problem that was common, I think, just to women in general, you know what I mean? Not to women caring about music and things like that. It was an exciting time, but it was very confusing, you know? And, you know, 10 years down the road, everybody figured out where they're supposed to be and what's cool and what's not, you know. It's not like today when all of us made mistakes and now people can look at us and say, okay, well, we won't do what they did. That's the whole point of time passing, is people now that come out get to see what not to do. I had no one to look to.
You're a real tough cookie with a long hair.